Wow, you guys, thank you. Wow. I mean, I just kept saying wow. This is what we say when God shows up, isn't it? Hey, I have a question for you before we get started. Have you noticed, as we get closer to the cross this year, that the gospel readings are getting longer and longer? We cut it down a little bit today so you didn't have to stand for 45 verses. Today's gospel reading, John 11, 1 through 45. That's a long time to stand and listen to somebody read, isn't it? And try to listen to somebody read. It's a lot of words to read. So instead of telling you the whole story by written word, I'm going to try to retell the story with some imagination in a minute. But what I hope really happens here for us is that we find what it is that God has for us this day to hear, for you and for me, right where you are, right where I am. So before we begin, may we pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our Redeemer and our Rock. Amen. So John is the only gospel writer that hands us today's story in John 11, 1 through 45. He begins like this. He says, there's a certain man who was ill, Lazarus. Tells us Lazarus is from the village of Bethany. He says Mary and Martha are from that very same village. It's the first time we've heard of this Lazarus. So I think John wants us to know which guy this is so we can know a little bit about him. So he says, you know that Mary? That Mary who bought a bottle of perfume? Mary spent a year's salary on a bottle of perfume about the size of a Dr. Pepper can, spilled the whole thing on Jesus' feet, and then went to wiping up the stinking mess and his feet with her hair. That Mary. And Martha, her sister, this is the Martha who busts through the kitchen door one day into the living room and yells at Jesus, "Don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me in the kitchen to do all the work all by myself? Why don't you tell her to get back in the kitchen and give me some help?" It's that Martha and that Mary. This is important for us to know, right? Because these sisters love Jesus. Can't you tell that they love Jesus by the way they treat him? Really? I mean, isn't this how we treat the people we love? Right? We spoil them and we scold them, right? We are extravagantly foolish for the people we love. And then, oh man, sometimes the way we care for them, oh man, it's kind of painful, right? I like these two sisters. And Jesus likes these two sisters, and maybe because we get to know these two sisters so well that John wants us to know these two sisters have a brother, and that guy, his name is Lazarus. And not only is this guy their brother, this guy turns out to be one of Jesus' best friends, possibly Jesus' very best friend. And so these two sisters send a note out to Jesus. The note comes to him, and it says, the sister's note says, they describe Lazarus by saying, the one you love is ill. Now, if somebody walked down this aisle right now, handed you a piece of paper and said, the one you love is ill, what would you do? Who would it be and how would you respond? You might get up from where you're seated and run to be next to the person you love. You know what Jesus does? Stays right where he is. Didn't get up. Didn't go anywhere. He does say something, though. He says, this illness doesn't lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. But you know what? Sisters weren't there to hear that. They hear nothing from Jesus. Have you ever sent word out to Jesus and you hear nothing back? That's where those sisters are right now. But you know, the disciples were there and they heard it. They not only heard the note, they heard Jesus' response, and you got to think, they're saying, oh man, I am so glad Laz is going to be all right, and I'm really glad we don't have to go back over there, because, boy, the last time we were there, it was a mess. Now, that part's not really in there, but you can hear it. If you can imagine in between the lines what's happening here, right? John goes on to say that Jesus loves Martha and her sister and Martha, I mean, and Lazarus. So after hearing that Lazarus was ill, Jesus stayed in the place he was 2 days longer. Now the disciples may have been glad to hear that they weren't going back into trouble's neighborhood just then. But you and I hear this and we think, well, that ain't right. I mean, he loves these people. He loves the sisters. He loves Lazarus. 2 days? What in the world is going on here? And I've heard sermons get stuck right here at this place in the scripture. I'm sure you've heard scripture and sermons get stuck right here too, right? Talk about Jesus' timing and our clock, God's timing, providence, all these kinds of things. Timing, time itself, is pretty fickle, isn't it? I mean, we could have 12 hours, and one time we have 12 hours to do a thing, and we can say, oh, 12 hours. Got plenty of time, 12 hours. And then the next time we hear it, 12 hours. Oh, my word, we've only got 12 hours. Let's get a move on, right? Still the same 12 hours. It's fickle. The Italians have a word for this, kind of a phrase. You may know this. It says this, make haste slowly. Yeah? It's this elastic idea of time. And try to wrap time around God anyway. That's kind of a crazy idea. We invented time, right? It's for us. But you know, that's a sermon for another day. And a sermon we've heard another day, for another time. Right now, Jesus is out there with his buddies. They've escaped with their lives. They've been out there for a while. When this note comes from people he loves, it says, the one you love is ill. He waits 2 days more. You know where he is? He's out on the other side of the Jordan River again, out near Jericho. The religious authorities had chased them out of Jerusalem, running for their lives. They were about to stone them in Jerusalem. Maybe some of them picked up the rocks and threw it at them. So the guys went hauling out to this place near Jericho, on the other side of that Jordan River again. A note comes. They've been there for a while. Lazarus, your friend. Oh, man. 2 days pass. And then Jesus says, let's go back to Judea. Now, this part is a little, this is some of my imagination in here, and I think that there's enough space here. But I see these disciples sitting around. I don't know if they're outside around a campfire or if they're in the house, and they're like, are you going to tell him? I'm not going to tell him. You're going to tell him? I'm not going to tell him. Let's get Peter to tell him. Peter will do anything. Let's get Peter to do it. Or maybe they pass around straws, and somebody picks the short straw, and they come up to Jesus and say, you know, I don't, if you were last time, they were, you want to go back there again? And Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in the day? But he doesn't say anything. Jesus goes on and says, those who walk during the day do not stumble because the light of the world is with them. Those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. And Jesus sees some of the tension, the uncomfort. The guys aren't getting it. Maybe why I call these guys turkeys sometimes is because of this scripture. And so Jesus sees the hesitation, the confusion, the comedy even. And Jesus says, hey, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And I'm going there to wake him. He's asleep. So, I mean, he's going to wake up, right? I mean, we wake up. He's going to be all right. How about we let him wake up and we stay here and we're all right and everybody is all right? Is that going to be all right? And then Jesus says plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you might believe. Now let's go to him. And right then, Thomas gets up from wherever he is in this mess and moves towards the door, if they're inside, or he moves towards the path where Jesus is. Thomas says, come on then, let's go die with him. Thomas. You know, you may call Thomas a doubter because what we hear him say in a couple of weeks, but Thomas is no coward. Come on then, let's go die with him. And they get up and they go, Jesus and the crew. They start back that long, winding road back up to Jerusalem, which is an 18-mile hike, and it's uphill all the way, and it probably took them 2 days to get there. And when they finally get to Bethany, which is about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, Lazarus has been in that tomb 4 days, and they find this out. You know, in John's gospel, this is not an incidental fact. In those days, in that part of the world, people believed that when you died, your spirit hung around. It hovered around your body for 3 days. And there was always hope in the 3-day span that that spirit could come back and re-enter the body and reanimate the body. But after that third day, spirit left. So to say Lazarus had been in that tomb 4 days was to say that all hope was gone. And even if Jesus knew that, even if Jesus didn't know that, he would have seen it on Martha's face when she comes up to him. Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And you know, I almost always hear her say that in the same tone that she busts through that kitchen door. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Right? It seems like it's your fault, Jesus. But today it seems a little bit different to me. Today maybe it's a profession of faith. Lord, if you'd have been here, Jesus, you could have done something. Where were you? And Jesus says, your brother will live again. Martha says, I know. Probably the same thing you and I say at funerals sometimes. I know. I know. On the resurrection day. On the last day. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me, even if he die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And the word Jesus uses for believe, we bring forward as believe almost every time. But the word trust can be traded here equitably. It could mean trust, which is a little bit different. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who trusts in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and trusts in me will never die. And then Jesus says point blank to Martha, do you believe this? Do you trust this? And Martha says, Lord, I believe, I trust you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who's coming into the world. And this is one of the highest professions of faith we get in the whole scripture. Martha makes this big profession of faith. You're the one. I trust. I believe. Then she goes off and gets her sister, Mary, who comes out and says to Jesus the very same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And I don't know how she says it. Is it the same thunder that Martha's brought? Or is it sad? We know that she's crying. John says that Mary is weeping, and the other mourners around her were weeping. And when Jesus saw all of this, John says, Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus asks, where do you lay the body? And they say, Lord, come and see. And that is right when Jesus begins to weep himself. People standing around there were sure they knew. See how much he loved that guy? Some people said, you know, if he could have healed that blind guy, surely he could have helped his friend Lazarus, right? Sure they knew why he was crying. Then again, John says, so we get the point, Jesus was greatly disturbed. People always want to know why Jesus wept. What do you think? Maybe he wept because, just like that old hymn says, Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Maybe Jesus felt their love, felt his own love for this guy laying here, and those tears just welled up and spilled out like they do out of you and me. Or maybe he weeps because of their lack of faith, because of no matter how much they say they believe, they trust in him, the closer they get to death, like many of us, faith just goes right out the window. Or maybe he recognizes that this is going to be him in a few days. And those tears that Mary are weeping right now, she weeps for her brother, but in a couple of days, she's going to be weeping again, this time for him, her friend, her Lord. Thursday, I had lunch with Derek, which isn't unusual. We're talking about this text over the pit barbecue up on Burnett Road. And he says, maybe Jesus cried, wept, because he knew what he was asking Lazarus to trade, leaving heaven and coming back here. Whatever reason Jesus weeps, I'm really glad he did, because it gives me permission to weep at funerals too. No matter how much faith I have inside of me, no matter how much I believe, I trust that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, I can, as Frederick Buechner says, go ahead and weep all the tears I have in me to weep, because whatever may happen next, if anything else happens next, this has happened. And maybe that's why Jesus weeps, because this has happened. And because it was never supposed to happen, and maybe because death had never been part of God's plan for his creation. And so Jesus wipes his tears out of his eyes, and he makes his way over to this tomb, and he gets there. He tells them, take that stone away. And Martha, who is the ever practical one, says, but Lord, he's been in there 4 days. There's going to be a stench. King James says, but Lord, he stinketh. Like he didn't know that. And Jesus says, didn't I tell you that if you believed, if you trust, you would see the glory of God? And so they took that stone away. And you know what? Martha was right. The stench of death filled the place like popcorn, you know, that fills up every little corner. They're out there and it stinks to high heaven. And Jesus looks up to heaven. One of the few prayers we hear him pray out loud. Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of those who are here so that they might believe, they might trust that you sent me. Which reminds me of what Jesus said near the beginning of this story, that this illness doesn't lead to death. Rather, it leads to the glory of God. You get the feeling that all of this, the illness, the death, the 2-day delay, the 4 days in the tomb, the big confession, the compassionate tears from Jesus, all of this leads up to the very moment when Jesus stands before this open tomb and says, Lazarus, come out! And you know what happens? He did. Lazarus came out. One more story. Fred Craddock tells a story about when he was a kid. He liked to play hide-and-go-seek with his sister and his brothers, and they play out in the farm. He said, you could play that out in the farm because it didn't cost you anything. Now, we'd get tired of playing the game, but we played it anyway. You know how it goes, right? One person's it. The person's it hides their eyes. They count to 100. Everybody else goes and hides somewhere. They get to 100. The person comes, runs out, finds you. I'll see you. Runs over to the base, tag 3 times. You're it, you're it, you're it. So he plays this game with his sister, the story that he tells. He says, my sister cheated. 1, 2, and she started out innocently enough, he says. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 93, 94, 95. Fred said he didn't care that she skipped all that because he found this hiding place, a great hiding place. He'd gone out under the steps, under the porch. He says he was small enough to fit way up under there. Oh, she'll never find me here, he said. She'll never find me here. 99, 100, and she comes running out looking. She runs up those stairs right over his head, into the house, looks all around the house, runs back down those steps right over his head, looks out everywhere, down in the weeds, up in the trees, out by the corn crib, in the barn, can't find her. Said he almost gave himself away, snickering. She'll never find me. She'll never find me. She'll never. Said then it hit him. She'll never find me. She'll never find me. And so after a while, he sticks his toe out under the porch. And next time she comes around, she sees his toe. Uh-oh, I see you. And she runs back to the base. Tag, you're it, tag, you're it, tag, you're it. He gets out from under the porch, dusts himself off, comes around and says, oh, shucks, you found me. You found me. Now, what did he want? What did he really, really want? Same thing as you and me. Ain't it the truth? May we pray. Oh God, you find us when the stench of death has us buried in a dark black hole with tears all around us. You find us even there. Find us this day with the same living word you threw there at Lazarus. As we move now to meet you here at your table, O God. Amen.